This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provide signature support for our program. We begin with Congressman James Michael Johnson, the U.S. Representative for Louisiana's 4th Congressional District, elected in 2016, former state House member and a graduate of the LSU School of Law. One of his classmates was the governor, John Bel Edwards, who actually was behind Congressman Johnson because of John Bel Edwards having his military duty, even though John Bel was born in 66 and Congressman Johnson born January 30, 1972, ironically one day before Garrett Neal Graves. But enough of trivia. We are in an interesting time, 29 days away from an election. 4 weeks from tomorrow, we'll be casting ballots, and the president is at Walter Reed being treated for COVID-19. His doctors offered rosy assessments of his condition yesterday, but they are disclosing very few medical details, including his fluctuating oxygen levels and a decision to begin treatment with a steroid drug. And the president sought to dispel any perception of weakness with a surprise and seemingly risky outing from his hospital bed, greeting supporters. Even his doctors once again rewrote the official narrative of his illness by acknowledging two alarming episodes they'd previously not discussed. So the American people have a right to know about the president and his health or her health, depending on who is in office. And this time around, we know it'll either be President Trump being reelected or Joseph Biden unseating him. But what do you think is going on, and are we being given the information we need as the people who ultimately decide whether the president is reelected, Congressman?
Well, I think we've been getting pretty frequent updates. I mean, so far as that can be handled, you know, obviously the health of the president of the United States, the most powerful person in the free world, in the entire world, arguably, commands the largest military, has all the power concentrated in just two hands there. His health and the updates, minute by minute, are important to everyone, but obviously there are some national security concerns that are involved in the updates. But I really don't think, Jim, they could have been any more transparent than they've been. I mean, the chief of staff, Mark Meadows, my good friend, has routinely been providing updates. The physicians, there's 11 who were assigned to the president's treatment. They've come out on the steps and given routine updates. So I don't know that there's much to complain about. We're getting even live videos from the president himself. So if there's ever been more transparency than this, I'm not aware of it in history.
Well, they're out there, but are they telling us the truth? And Mark Meadows was the one who told reporters off the record, that ultimately became on the record, that the president was doing much worse than originally stated. And of course, President Trump is a guy who's larger than life. He is 74 years old. As we know, he is extremely overweight, even though his doctor said that he is slightly overweight. He is classified as obese, and that's even with numbers that are suspect about his weight. But nonetheless, he's a guy with an abundance of energy, and he walked on his own power to the limo waiting for him to go to the hospital, so he's not at death's door. But considering that 215,000 Americans have died of this, and he has at least one risk factor in being obese, and he is 74, this is a time for concern. How concerned are you and the delegation about this, Congressman?
Well, you're always concerned when the president is ill and has certainly contracted a dangerous virus. But I feel very confident today. I spoke yesterday with Kevin McCarthy, who's the Republican leader in Congress. He spoke personally with the president on the phone the night before, and everyone seems to think that the latest prognosis is he may even be able to return to the White House as early as today, this afternoon. That was a report confirmed this morning. So we'll see how it goes. This is what I know about the president, Jim. I've spent a lot of time with him, and I often described him as having an almost sort of supernatural reservoir of strength and energy. I mean, it really is a remarkable thing. He's just a unique person. And when I've traveled with him, I've given examples. I've traveled with him, you know, day-long trips. We'll meet at the White House at 8:15 in the morning, take the motorcade to Air Force One, go on a trip somewhere to a state or down to South Louisiana or whatever. After a day-long worth of activities, we'll arrive back in Washington at 11:15 or 12 midnight, and the president looks like he just started the day. I mean, he never rests. He never takes a break. It's really an amazing thing for someone who's his age. And so that stamina and that overall, strength and health, I think, will help him overcome this illness.
877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number. Talk@talklouisiana.org is our email as we visit with Congressman Mike Johnson, Republican from Shreveport. As you can hear, he has gotten into the inner sanctum of the President of the United States. There are 435 members of the United States House, and Mike Johnson is one of the favored people for the president. He's certainly one of the most articulate people serving in Congress and shares the president's views on a myriad of issues, including the Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett, the prospective justice. Now we have two members of the Judiciary Committee, Republicans, who have contracted COVID-19. What does this do as far as the confirmation process?
Well, I think the process can continue on the schedule that was announced by Lindsey Graham, who, of course, chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he said they'll begin October 12th. Now, the custom and practice of most of the committees in Congress, including the Judiciary Committee in the Senate, over the last several weeks and months has been to do meetings virtually by video, and it's worked pretty well. So they can go to that method, that form of hearing if necessary. I don't know that decision's been made yet, but it might make some sense, and to proceed as scheduled. They're planning, and I think still committed, to having a vote on her confirmation by the end of this month, and I think that will do the country well. As you know, I've known Amy for over 30 years, and I think she is a superb choice for the Supreme Court.
When you say you've known her over 30 years, she's 48, so that would make her 18. You're 48. When did you meet?
Yeah, well, we both grew up in Louisiana, of course. She's a Metairie girl. She grew up outside of New Orleans, and I grew up in Shreveport. But we both did student council and student leadership things when we were in high school, and we would meet up at the student leadership events around the state. And met her, I think, first when she was 16 or 17, probably our junior year in high school. We're the same age, same year of graduation. And have known her that whole time. And as I've said in a lot of national interviews over the last few weeks and op-eds and all the rest, that she's always been this same person. She's just, everybody knows now she's an accomplished constitutional scholar and law professor and appellate court judge and all that. But I've made the point that even more fundamental and more important is that she's just genuinely a good person. She's a wife and a doting mother of seven beautiful children, including two they adopted from Haiti, one with special needs. She's a person of genuine faith. It's a rare thing, Jim, when the smartest person in a room is also the kindest and most selfless. And that's, to me, real leadership. Real leadership is recognized and not imposed. And I think Amy represents that. I think she's a great role model for other women and young girls. And I think she's is exactly the right temperament for the Supreme Court.
We're visiting with Mike Johnson, graduate of Captain Shreve High School in Shreveport, undergraduate degree in business from LSU, and a law degree as well. Not a silver spoon kind of guy. His father was a firefighter and was critically burned and disabled in the line of duty. We've talked about your backstory. Some would find that it is interesting that you are as conservative as you are, considering that you were not a country club kind of fellow.
Quite the opposite. I actually grew up on the picket line of the local 514, the firefighters. My grandfather's an electrician. I'm actually the first college graduate in my family. But what our parents instilled in us, I'm the oldest of four children, and they taught us that hard work and sacrifice was necessary to make it. And you know, in this country, the American dream is if you do that and you play by the rules, you can make a better life. And so that work ethic was instilled in us, and those traditional family values that are the thing that held us together through all that tragedy in my childhood. I really believe in that, and I think that's what's good for America. I earlier in this Congress, when I ran for chairman of the Republican Study Committee, I chair the largest caucus of Republicans in Congress, and I made the pitch when I was nominated for that. I said, look, I'm not the most senior guy here. I don't claim to be the smartest, but I do understand the fundamental core values that made America the great nation that it is. And I think if we advance those, we do well for the country and for mm-hmm. for everyone. And I boiled it down to seven core principles, Jim, and it's just real simple. Individual freedom, limited government, the rule of law, peace through strength, fiscal responsibility, free markets, and human dignity.
All right,
those
are
Republican values, but they're American values more fundamentally than that.
Certainly. Now, the president, and he hasn't really been able to refute the reports that the New York Times has his tax returns for the last 15 years. He didn't pay any taxes for 10 years. And a couple of other years, he only paid $750 in income taxes. Now, I would guess your constituents pay far more than that and have far less means than the president. Probably has more than means than anybody you're representing. What do you make of the fact that he's been able to avoid paying huge taxes?
Well, the first thing that's important to point out is that he's declared that as fake news. I'm not sure all that's accurate reporting anyway, and it's suspect why the New York Times would leak information like that without having verifiable documents. But that aside,
say they have them.
What we do know about the president, we know that he's also lost an extraordinary amount of money in serving. He serves without a salary, donates it to charity. And, there's a lot to be said on both sides of that issue.
877-217-5757, another segment with Congressman Mike Johnson, Republican from Shreveport, and we'll go to the phone lines in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number for Congressman Mike Johnson, who's with us for another segment. And he says he's quite optimistic the president is going to do well and recover from COVID-19. He could leave the hospital as early as today, according to reports. Doug on Highland. Doug, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim, Congressman. Jim, I've spoken before about feeling like I'm living in an alternate reality from some of our fellow Americans, and this is another occasion. The event at the White House for the judge, was a spreading event. A lot of folks sitting together without masks, no distancing, but all of them, not just the president, but just about all of them will have access to some of the best health care in the country if they get the virus. The rest of us aren't so lucky. And if they succeed in striking down the Affordable Care Act, which is the plan after the judge is confirmed, then millions of people are going to lose not just the marketplace policies, but all the protections that we all have under the Affordable Care Act.
All right. Congressman, would you respond to Doug?
Yeah, thanks, Doug. I would take the other side of every point he just made. First, I was at the Rose Garden two Saturdays ago, and there was a very tight medical regimen and protocol that was followed before you can enter the White House complex.
Were you wearing a mask?
I was wearing a mask when I arrived. We took tests. We all tested negative. They escorted us then to the cabinet room where I waited with some of the senators, two of whom have tested positive. One of them was Tom Tillis, never took his mask off the entire event. Everyone in that Rose Garden tested negative. Everyone was watched closely.
When you say you were tested, actually had the swab and all that?
I did, indeed, yes. And you have to before you can enter the White House.
But how did they get the results back so quickly?
You do a rapid test. It takes about a half hour. So you kind of go to a waiting area in the Eisenhower building, which is across, okay, not on the White House complex. And before you pass the test, you can't enter. But look, it is a virus. It's contagious. Everyone knows that. We take it seriously. The president has as well. But the fact that the most protected individual in the world contracted it somehow, shows that it's serious. I think we've all taken it seriously. In Washington, we follow very strict protocols. In Congress and elsewhere, we wear a mask, 24 hours a day when we're out of our individual offices. And, we can just do the best we can. As far as the plan, as it's been said, to strike down Obamacare in the courts, first of all, the nominee, Amy Coney Barrett, has taken no position on that whatsoever, and that's not something that has been on her radar screen, I can tell you. I know her personally, talk to her all the time. But it's not that Obamacare is to be struck down. There are a lot of people, Republicans and Democrats, working on real solutions. This group that I chair, the reason I referenced it earlier is because we're presenting all the policy on behalf of the Republicans, and we submitted a lengthy, very comprehensive health care plan last October, which is the best, as many critics say, the best that has ever been presented after 15 months of research and all of that. So we can improve our health care system. We can increase access to quality care and drive down costs and all the rest. But it takes a bipartisan coalition to do it. And right now, the two sides are in their various corners, opposite corners, and it's very difficult to get things done.
All right. Now, as far as the debate performance six nights ago, how did you think the president did?
Well, I thought it was a messy debate. I think everybody agrees with that. It's unfortunate because the president has such an extraordinary track record of accomplishment, pages and pages and pages of things that have been accomplished on his watch for the American people. And I wanted him to just get up like, just rattle those off to remind everybody, get past all the drama and all the politics and talk about the policy. So I hope that he'll be able to do that more in the next two debates.
Maybe do you think he'll participate in the debates?
Oh, he certainly wants to. He wants to do more than two. He loves it.
Well,
so, if his health permits, I'm sure he will.
Okay. Paul in Opelousas. Paul, please be brief. You're on with Congressman Johnson. Hi, Paul.
How are you doing, Jim? How are you doing, Congressman? Just a quick question. Kobe's going to come, going to go. State of Louisiana, we got districts that a lot of us don't know our congressman because it's so big. You know, we've got congressmen from Shreveport that represent Plaquemine. When we will recut this up and actually get a connection, a more vital connection with our congressman?
All right. What about the way these districts are drawn? Paul's right. His congressman isn't anywhere close to Opelousas, and, of course, Cedric Richmond represents not only New Orleans, but North Baton Rouge. Should that be the case?
Well, it's not unlike any other state. Some of the smaller states with smaller populations, you just have one member who covers the entire state. It's not ideal.
But this is a zigzag, and let's face it, we know that Congressman Richmond's district is designed to put more black people in his district and take them out of Garrett Graves' district.
Yeah, that was done by the legislature. We don't have a say in
that
it.
Is
but
true.
I mean, I'm the
congressman. You were in the legislature, though, for a while.
Yeah, not during that time. That was apportionment every 10 years. But, the gerrymandering efforts are not healthy. It's not good for our system. But sometimes it's the only way to ensure majority and minority districts. And there's a lot of discussion about that. But, you know, I'm the congressman from Shreveport, using his example. I don't go to Plaquemine, but I go down to Vernon, Allen, Beauregard.
Your district's not so bad. Your district's okay.
It makes some sense. It goes along the western half of the state on the northern and mid part. But and most of them, you know, look okay. There will be some discussion about redrawing lines, but you got to be real careful about that. Look, we're very deliberate. We want everybody to be represented. And I've done town halls in all 15 of my parishes repeatedly. Been everywhere all the time. We each of us represent about 750,000 people. That's a lot of ground to cover, no matter what your geography looks like.
A listener asks, are there any plans for you to run for governor? Are you considering that?
Wait, I missed that. The second part.
Are you considering a run for governor in 2023?
Oh, no. Look, I take every day at a time, Jim. That's not a talking point for me. I really believe you got to be faithful in what God puts before you today and let him worry about later on.
All right, but that's not a no.
I don't rule anything out because, you know, it depends honestly on where we feel led to serve. But I feel like right now in Congress, it looks like I'll be running unopposed to be vice chairman of the whole Republican conference in the House. And Steve Scalise is almost guaranteed to be in the one or two position. So for the first time, I think, in Louisiana history, you'll have two Louisiana members in the top five leadership positions in the party. So that would be a good thing for the state.
Dan downtown. Dan, you're on with Congressman Johnson. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Congressman, as one of your core values is that of human dignity, should Trump have refrained from bragging about observing teenage beauty contestants undressing?
All right, as he did to Howard Stern back in the day before he was a president of the United States. The president had a very racy lifestyle and was proud of it. We've talked about this many times on our show, Congressman. He does things that are not in accord with what I'm sure you believe in. Does that bother you at all?
Sure, those things have bothered me on occasion, but I'm not aware of any elected official anywhere at the federal, state, or local level who's lived a perfect life. And there's, you know, everybody makes mistakes. I believe in redemption. I believe people can grow and change. I think the president has in that regard. And at the end of the day, we're not just electing a person or a personality. We're electing a set of policies, a package. And when you compare what President Trump has accomplished and what he stands for in that regard versus, in this case, his opposition, Joe Biden, it's not even close. If you care about the economy, your safety, security, economic mobility for more people. Donald Trump has delivered, and that's an important thing to consider when you're voting for president.
Well, you talked about fiscal responsibility a bit earlier. Before COVID, we had the largest deficit in the history of the country, and the debt has skyrocketed. It was going up under Obama. Now it's really, really going up, and a lot of the people who were criticizing the previous president are suspiciously quiet about it.
Well, I have been. I lead the fiscal conservatives in the House, and we've consistently put out, we've published the Republican Study Committee's Budget and Spending Task Force report, and in fact, we published the only budget, the only long-term budget that exists on Capitol Hill in this Congress. Nancy Pelosi has yet to produce one. We're consistent in that, intellectually consistent about it, and I believe the debt is a major problem facing the country.
We're going to see if the congressman can stay with us for a few more minutes, and then we'll hear from Tyler Bridges. Mike Foster, our former governor, died yesterday at the age of 90, and he served Louisiana with distinction for two terms and left an immense legacy in his path. We'll talk about that, and we'll revisit our discussion with Congressman Johnson in just a moment. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. We're wrapping it up with Congressman Mike Johnson, who's actually gone into overtime for us. We appreciate that, and he's always very gracious when we call on him to be on this show, and we're appreciative of his generosity in that regard. James in Metairie, please be brief. You're on with the Congressman, James. Good morning. You're going to have to pull him up. Oop, I think we just lost James. Please call back, James. Let's try David in Atlanta. David, good morning. You're on with Congressman Johnson. Hi, David.
Thank you, Jim. Congressman, you really told a big lie. We had more jobs created under President Obama in his second term in his first 3 years. We had more than 8 million. Under Trump, we had only 6 million. And furthermore, Trump has added a lot more money to the debt. And furthermore, we only had 0.1% growth after the Republican tax cuts were passed. So just like Trump has told more than 20,000 lies.
All right. Well, what about the perception that things were in the toilet when the president took office? We know that President Obama improved the economy dramatically from what he inherited. He inherited one of the worst financial crises in the history of our country. Does he deserve some credit, and his vice president by extension?
Well, look, we can dispute the record of the Obama administration. What's relevant right now is the Trump record. And, I mean, look, I appreciate David's zeal there, but it is beyond dispute that the economy has soared, taken off, and performed. Prior to the coronavirus hitting us, we had the greatest economy literally in the history of mankind. February, look at the February jobs report before coronavirus hit us. We raised the standard of living, the pay, and the opportunity for every single demographic in this country. Minorities of every kind, women, everyone was doing better than.
All right, that is true. But as we talked with Quinn Hillier last week, President Obama took over with a 10% unemployment rate. When he left office, it was under 5%. And 3 years into his term, before this coronavirus catastrophe, it was under 4% under President Trump. So he did improve, but he inherited a good economy from his predecessor. Let's go to James in Metairie. James, good morning. Please be brief. You're on with Congressman Johnson.
Hey, thank you very much, Jim. Your guest, Mr. Johnson, said that, Donald Trump is losing money. According to numerous articles like in Forbes, he actually, makes revenue off of this. But initially, Congressman Johnson said that a core value of America was taking personal responsibility. When has Donald Trump ever taken personal responsibility?
All right. His life, some would say, is a mess. 3 marriages, 6 bankruptcies. Wildly overweight. He doesn't seem to have control of his life. Why should we put our lives in his care? What do you think, Congressman?
Well, because you can look at the track record of the last few years, and almost 4 years now, and see what he's been able to do for the country. He doesn't think like a lot of us do in Louisiana. He's a Manhattan real estate developer by trade. That is his frame of reference and his worldview for everything. But he has built the economy. He did help us make America great again. He fulfilled so many campaign promises. It would take us 45 minutes to roll through them. Look, everybody sees this from a different lens. And I understand we're in a very bitter partisan kind of environment right now. It's unfortunate. I think at the end of the day, when this election is over, whichever way it goes, all of us need to work on toning it down and trying to unify the country again. I mean, that's going to be essential. We're a government of, by, and for the people. One of the presuppositions of a constitutional republic in a free society is that people have to be able to dialogue in a civil way and reach consensus together. And if we lose the ability to do that, if our anger drives us on everything, I'm not sure the republic can operate as it's intended. And that's something that keeps me up at night, Jim.
All right, Patrick in Ennis-Walda State, you'll be our final caller for Congressman Johnson. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, I don't think you can compare Donald Trump to Biden, who's taken bribes. You see how he handles people, sniffs their hair.
All right. We can do tit for tat here, but some would say the Biden record is certainly much better than the Trump record, but Patrick believes otherwise. And it appears, unfortunately, in the final 29 days of the campaign, we're going to go straight for the gutter. The Biden people did pull their negative ads against the president. The president did not do the same. Should we have a ceasefire right now, considering the president is battling for his life, Mike?
Well, I thought that was a class move by the Biden campaign, and we'll tip our hats to them. They didn't do it entirely, of course. There were still some ads running. But, look, this is the environment we're in. We all do well to, again, examine the policies and the practices and the records of these two men, and not their personality and their peccadilloes. You know, I mean, that's where we are. These are the two candidates. These are the choices that we have. And I encourage everybody to go compare the platforms. Look at what they're actually proposing for the next 4 years, because that's what should matter the most to all of us.
Thank you, Congressman. Appreciate your comments. And as mentioned, you came from good stock. Your dad was a true hero, and I know you carry his name and you carry a lot of his values. So we appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it, my friend.